read the Word of God from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or 12 rather, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We begin to read at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Thus far the reading of the Holy and Divine Scripture. We consider as our text tonight, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the text tonight is the Spirit's election theology of the church and of spiritual gifts. An election theology is a theology that traces all back to God. An election theology of salvation teaches that all the gifts of salvation proceed from the election of God as the fountain of every saving good. The election theology of the covenant teaches that the covenant in its entirety is controlled by and explained through the doctrine of election. An election theology of the church traces all in the church back to God. Election theology is a God-centered, God-glorifying theology. It is as God-centered and as God-glorifying as the error is man-centered and man-glorifying. To say today, however, that one has an election theology, whether that be an election theology of the church or an election theology of the covenant or an election theology of a spiritual gift, to say that someone, whether a believer or a church or a minister, has an election theology is virtually considered the same as a medical diagnosis with Ebola. One is considered, if he has an election theology, virtually a lost cause. And that diagnosis of his theology as an election theology will earn him the same isolation in the ecclesiastical sphere as a diagnosis with Ebola will earn him in the social sphere. Even if election is grudgingly acknowledged, it is said that that doctrine is wholly impractical, has no bearing upon the life of the church, and is best left to the learned debates of the academies or the dusty tomes of the theologians that no one ever reads. And also then conveniently out of the way as far as the church's life is concerned. But having an election theology places one in good company. It is the company of God. It is the company of Christ. And it is the company of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit Himself reminding the church of the principles of spiritual gifts, because He will not have the church ignorant, because ignorance of this is detrimental to the life and the unity of the church. The Spirit reminding the church of the principles of those spiritual gifts traces all of those gifts back to election. Indeed, teaching the principles of spiritual gifts, if the Spirit in this chapter had not traced His teaching with regarding to spiritual gifts back to election, He would have been remiss in His duty. He would have kept the church ignorant with regard to the fundamental principle, with regard to spiritual gifts, out of which all of the church's thinking and then all of the church's life with regard to those spiritual gifts is drawn. All gifts, the Scripture teaches, come down from the Father of lights, and that is true of spiritual gifts too. Spirit here teaches this election theology of the church and the church's spiritual giftedness. And He does that applying it specifically to the individual. God has set the members, every one of them, in the body. The Spirit does not intend that this election theology of the church and of spiritual gifts remain in the realm of the abstract. But the Spirit intends that the election theology of the church and of spiritual gifts be the basis for the believer's own thinking and therefore his own life in the church with regard to his spiritual gifts. He teaches it in order that we believe it, this election theology of the church, and that believing it, we live out of it. Corinth didn't. And that was the explanation of all the schism and the factiousness and the infighting in Corinth. The secret of contentment and unity in the church is the church's firm faith in this election theology of the Spirit. When the members believe it with one heart, confess it with one mouth, and live it, there will be peace. There will be a vibrant, living church there in that place. Let us consider then the Spirit's election theology of the church. Let us notice, first of all, that it is of the church. Let us notice, secondly, it is of my place in the church. And let us notice, finally, believing it. The Spirit's election theology of the church. Of the church, of my place in the church, and believing it. When the apostle writes here in verse 18 that God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, is that as it hath pleased him, by the word body, he intends the church. He is speaking here in this text of the church. The church is the body of Christ. That's what he says in verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. The church is the body of Christ because Christ is the head. Christ is the head that was appointed by God, and the church is given to Christ as his body. The church is the body of Christ, furthermore, because she is joined to Christ by a true and a living faith. This body is the body of which the apostle spoke in verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." There he speaks of the spiritual union of the church with Jesus Christ, whereby she is made his living body. It is the work of the Spirit to join the believer to Christ by that faith and to set that believer in the body of Jesus Christ. By that work, the Spirit makes the church. In that body, the members of the church experience by the work of the Spirit their salvation. It is there in union with Jesus Christ that they are freed from the dumb idols that the apostle says that we worship. He's referring there to the believer's natural state in ignorance and in sin and in guilt. They are saved in the church. They are washed from the guilt of their sin in the church. They are washed from the pollution of their sin in the church. And they experience communion, living fellowship with Christ and with the triune God there in the church. The church is very simply the mystical body of Jesus Christ. Outside of the church, there is no salvation. And that church, this body, he hath set the members, every one of them in the body. This body that he is referring to is not only the mystical and invisible body of Jesus Christ, the object of our faith that we confess every Sunday, I believe, one holy Catholic Church, But the church that he is interested in here is the local congregation. She is the church. She is not a part of the church. She is not a fraction of the church. She is the church. That's what he says. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, referring to the local congregation at Corinth, he calls them the body of Christ. Church is the local church. What we call the Church Institute. The Church Institute with her particular members, with her minister, with her elders, and her duly elected deacons, with her doctrine, her confession, and her life. She is invisible as regards her spiritual union with Jesus Christ, but she is visible in her institutions and in her confession. She is the body of Christ, not the denomination. The Protestant Reformed churches have repeated ad nauseum that our name is not Protestant Reformed Church. That is inaccurate. That is incorrect. We are the Protestant Reformed churches. That's because in our polity we insist that the local congregation is the body of Christ, is the church. Denomination is the federation of all those churches. Classes is not the church. Classes, like the denomination, is a union, a federation of local churches of Jesus Christ. The local church is the body of Christ. Members are members of Christ in particular. Christ is the head of that body. And the members are members of Christ in particular. Some are his hands. Some are his feet. Some are his eyes and his ears. But they are together the body, Jesus Christ. Now concerning this body, the apostle says, God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body. When the apostle says God hath set, the apostle is not referring, first of all, to the activity of God in time, setting each member in his place or her place in the body, but the apostle is referring by the word set to election. That's clear from the text, as it hath pleased him. The good pleasure of God is his election. But that's clear also from other passages of Scripture. The Bible, when it speaks of election, the Bible doesn't always use the word election or even predestination. Sometimes the Bible describes the activity of election with the word set. So, for instance, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The word appointed there is the word set. God did not set us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Here too, the word set. God set the members in the body. That's what election is. Election is God's activity of setting the various members of Christ in the body. That setting is an eternal setting. God from all eternity not only chose who would be saved, but he set them in the body. And by placing them in the body, he appointed them to salvation. Understand here, the apostle is not talking about two kinds of election. That's oftentimes the way some will speak of election. God has a secret decree of election concerning the individual. No one knows about that. And God has a general election of a body. So in the Old Testament, God chose Israel as his people generally. And so in the New Testament, God generally chooses a church. The apostle is saying that the eternal decree of election, the eternal decree appointing some persons to salvation and some persons to damnation, that decree consists of putting individuals in the church. The relationship between election and the church is this. By his election of the individual, with an eternal decree appointing that individual to salvation, God also formed a church. Now, when he calls the church this body chosen by God, he implies there's the head first of all. The election of the church was first of all the election of the head. A body without a head is a monstrosity. He implies here that the very first decree, the determining decree, was the head, Jesus Christ. He teaches that also in the chapter. No man speaking by the Spirit calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost. The doctrine of election teaches that Jesus is Lord, head of the church. And he gave to that head a body consisting of chosen individuals, so that our union with Christ, according to the apostle, does not begin when the Spirit joins us to Christ actually in time, but our union with Christ began when God gave us to Christ as his church. In election, then, election has in view the body of the church as its goal. Election is not the heap or the selection of a heap of individuals. Election is not the selection, using the analogy of a body, of a heap of different body parts that God all pitches onto a pile. Election is the careful selection of the members of Christ's body. And speaking then in the analogy of the body, election is the heart of the church. Rip election out of the church, and you have no church. Deny election, and you have a church with no heart. And everybody knows that a body with no heart is a dead body. So a church with no election is a dead church. There may be a few twitches and spasms to indicate that there was life there at one time. But the body, for all intents and purposes, is dead. And election is the explanation now, not of the body of Christ as the universal body of Christ, but in the language of the apostle, the election of God is the explanation of the local congregation. This local congregation has its origin in eternity. Election is the explanation of the existence of the various members of Christ who live and are part of this church. Election determines that this church even exists at all. Election determines the various forms that this church has taken throughout time in its history. Election determines that. You have to say, too, then, that the apostle has in view here not only election, but also reprobation. Election is part of a twin decree. If God set the members in the body as it hath pleased him, he also did not set various members or various individuals in the body as it hath pleased him. In election, theology traces all things back to God. Not only the existence of faith, not only the existence of membership in the church, but also the existence of unbelief and the existence of non-membership in the church. That too is traced back to God. It did not please him. The will of God explains that there are tares and hypocrites. Whether those tares and hypocrites are exposed in this life by their own wicked unbelief, or whether those tares and hypocrites are separated by the angels. But the will of God explains it. It explains all with regard to the church. He set. He did. He set so that there is a church, and he set in such a way that that church of Jesus Christ manifests itself in various forms and at various times in various places. The election of God determines that. And the apostle says that this election of God is not only his setting, but as it hath pleased him, the explanation of why he chose this one and not that one. The explanation of why even God formed a church in this location and not in that location. That is explained by his good pleasure, as it hath pleased him. As soon as we say, as it hath pleased him, we say that the election has its source in grace. The good pleasure of God is always opposed to the merit of man. The election of God is not based upon the merit of man or the worth of man or the work of man, but upon the good pleasure of God because he wanted to. And the church then, the church in a particular local place is not the work of man. It's not the product of the work of man. It doesn't belong to a man or any group of men, but God. Its very existence is explained by the will of God and the good pleasure of God and the grace of God. That's necessary for the church to understand that. Not only for her view of herself, we must believe that about ourselves. That there is a church here, God willed from all eternity. That we belong to this church, he willed from all eternity. But that's important also for the church's work in missions. That was God's own explanation to the Apostle Paul about the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth wasn't the work or the product of the efforts of the Apostle Paul. It was because God determined that there be a church there. He said that to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul went to Corinth, and the Apostle Paul was preaching in Corinth, and all he faced in Corinth was opposition. And God appeared to him in a dream, and God said to the Apostle Paul, "Keep preaching, because I have much people in this city. He had them there by his eternal decree. They had to be called out. The all-encompassing question, the principle that governs the church's work in missions, the church's work in evangelism, the only concern of the church is the will of God. Not can we start a church here? The church has gone fundamentally wrong if that's her thinking. Can we start a church here? Does God have a church here? Did God decree that in this time and in this place, from among these individuals, He had determined that there be a church there? Will we be subject to that will of God? That's the all-encompassing, the only important question for the church. Church is solely the church, whether considered as the body of Jesus Christ from all eternity, that church, whether that church is considered the local congregation, the sole explanation of that church is God set the members in that church as it hath pleased Him. That makes the church secure. Absolutely secure. Institutes may rise and fall. Men may come and go. But the church abides. That makes the individualism that disdains membership in the church in the name of election a denial of election. There are those who disdain the local church. They disdain that local church by their failure to be members in a local church where the truth is preached. They disdain the local church by failing to move where a local church is so that they can be members. They disdain it. When you say to them, why aren't you a member of God's church? They say, oh, I'm a member of His church by election. They're defending their disdain for the membership of the local church by an appeal to election. The apostle says, with regard to election, that election forms local churches. The fruit of election, the goal of election, is the local church, where Christ is Lord and Head. Truth of election demands of the believer, calls the believer, obligates the believer to be a member of the local church, Jesus Christ. If he refuses, then he reveals himself to be a hypocrite. An imposter. And that too, the text also then speaks of the fundamental quality that determines where I can be a member of a church. If the church is the body, then Christ is the head. Then that's the church. The only church that I may join is the church where Christ is acknowledged to be the only head of the church. That means that all things in that church are managed and governed by the pure Word of God. That's the church where the polity of Jesus Christ, as laid out in the Bible, governs the whole life of that church. That's where the Word of Christ and the sacraments governs the ceremonies of that church. That's where the discipline of the church is controlled by the Word of God in the Bible. That's the church that I may join. That's the church that shows itself to be the body, Jesus Christ. That's the church that gives evidence that its source, its origin, its explanation is the will and decree of God, His good pleasure. Election determines the church. And election determines your and my place in the church. This is the point of the apostle when he says, he hath placed the members of the body, each, every one of them, or each of them. And that's the point of the apostle when he says, members. A member belongs to the body. A member is not an attachment of the body, but belongs to that body. It has a particular place and function in that body. When the apostle speaks of God setting the members in the body, when the apostle says he has placed every one of them in the body, the apostle is tracing the place of the individual to the election of God. The whole truth of election is not only that God appoints certain persons to salvation. The whole truth of election is not that God appoints certain persons to salvation as the church, but the whole truth of election is that God appoints me, my place in the church. My place in the church is not the product of my will, my abilities, the will of another man, the choice of another man, but the choice of God. God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. You have to say, too, God didn't put me in my place in the church or your place in the church because the church needed anything from you or from me or anybody. But because it pleased Him. When God in eternity was choosing out of the human race certain individuals and placing them in the church, God said, I'm going to make this one a finger, and this one a hand, and this one an ear, and this one a foot, and this one an eye, because it pleases me. And you understand that when He did that, He also gave you your gifts. The gifts, whatever gifts you possess, were given you in election in order that you may take up your place in the body. If He made you an eye, He gave you the ability to see. If He made you a finger, He gave you the ability to grasp. If He made you an ear, He gave you the ability to hear. God placed the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. The relationship between my place and my gifts is not this, that I join myself to the church and I find a place in the church for myself, but that God set me in that church as it pleased Him and gave me the gifts necessary to carry out that position in the church. All is traced back to Him. None of it is of man. All of it is of God. The idea of my place in the church and my gifts in the church is not this, that God saw that the church at a particular place and time needed my gifts, and so He put me there. No, not at all. In eternity, when He was making up the body of Christ, He set me in my place because it pleased Him. And equipped me with all that I need for that place in the body because it pleased Him. For no other reason. And He did that in order that there be a body. He hath set the members in the body. You see, He would have a church. He would have a church in a particular place, a body. Not a heap of individuals. Not a collection of parts, but a body functioning. All the members functioning in their place. So that they use that place. That place that they received by the sheer, unmerited grace of God. Be used for the body. You see, the election theology of the church is the key to a vibrant church life. Where the doctrine of election is not on the forefront of the members' minds, where the doctrine of election, now as we've explained it in the text, when the doctrine of election is hid in the back of the Psalter, when the doctrine of election remains in the dusty tomes of the theologians that no one reads, that shows, just as you can take the pulse of a person, check his vital signs, run some tests on him to see if he's healthy, so you can test the health of the church's heart, the doctrine of election, to see if that heart is pumping strongly. Test. The apostle points out some of the manifestations of this election theology of the church being stuffed into the background. The members being ignorant of that election theology of the church. The members not living out of that election theology of the church. When a member doesn't do that, a member says, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Because I am not the ear, I am not of the body. That is, there is a petty, self-interested jealousness in the church. An individualism that characterizes the life of the church. Where that reigns, you can be sure the election theology of the Spirit does not reign in that heart. There's envy. There's jealousness. There's a contentiousness. There is a disdain, even. When the hand says to the foot, I don't need you. Or the ear to the eye, I don't need you. There the weak heart of that church is exposed. But God, you see, when he says, but God, but now hath God, he opposes the election theology of the Spirit to the self-interested, selfish, self-seeking thinking of man. But now God, you see, when God is first, when God's will is first, when God's will is everything, then my life in the church will be right. If I believe the election theology of the church, first of all, that means that I give up my foolish and selfish and unbelieving thinking regarding my place or the place of others in the church. The will of God opposes sinful will of man. It means, too, that I can rejoice in another person's position in the church. You see, if I'm always interested in myself, I can never rejoice in another person's position. If I'm always saying, but I'm not the ear, I want to be the ear, then I can never rejoice in the fact that he's an ear. I can never point out and rejoice in the gifts that God bestows upon some other member in the church. I can't even recommend those gifts. Say for the elders' bench or the deacons' bench or the evangelism committee or some other labor in the church. You say about somebody else, you see they have a gift from God to serve in that position. You rejoice in it. Not try to take it. Not say we don't need it. That's believing the Spirit's election theology of the church. Believing the Spirit's election theology of the church means I know my place. Just as God in due time and in a certain measure gives to every believer the knowledge of their election so that they know it, that must also mean He gives them the knowledge of their place in the church. Spirit doesn't leave us ignorant of the place that's given to us in the church. Belongs to His work of salvation that He shows to us that we're eyes or ears or feet or hands. What our place in the church is. And then knowing our place in the church, believing the Spirit's election theology of a church, you're thankful. Doesn't it make you thankful? That God's placed you in a true church. And not just placed you there, but made you a member there. Gave you a work there. Bestowed upon you salvation and all of the things that are necessary for you to live there in that place in the church. Isn't that the cause of thanksgiving? And doesn't that election theology make you content? If my position in the church, or your position in the church, or whatever has been given to you, is the result of the dole of man. I have all kinds of reasons to be discontented. But if it's the result of God's choice, eternally, according to His good pleasure, do I have any reason to be discontented with that place? To walk around and say, why didn't God give me a different place? Why don't I have some other gift? You can't do that if God gave it to you. The believer can't. The will of God in the church and the power of that election of God in the church that sets the member in the body, which is the power of grace, is the power also to make one content in that place in the church. It's also the power, believing it, is the power to make me labor in that position in the church. To work in it, to be that member, to use that position, not for myself, but for the body, and not even ultimately for the body. The body serves the head, and the head serves God. That takes away even the despair or sometimes the depression that comes with intense labor in the body. And no one cares. God does. Christ does. We labor unto Him, the one who set us in the body, the one who by His grace gave us that position. And that kind of thinking, a thinking controlled by the Spirit's election theology of the church, that makes for a vibrant, peaceful, unified church. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy election, that wonder of grace. We thank Thee for our place, each one that Thou hast given in the body. Grant us Thy grace to believe it, and believing it, to be sanctified by Thy Spirit and to live out of it in the church, that we may know our position, that we might labor in that position for Thy name's honor and glory, for the exaltation of Thy Son, and for the good of the body of Christ. For Jesus' sake, amen.